Congressman Bill Heisinger from Michigan joining us on the line to talk about that and a whole lot more. Congressman, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Good to be with you.
Well, glad to have you. You know, I watched Jake Carney get tied into pretzels on the podium yesterday, just trying to explain what is different this time, Jay. What's he really talking about this time? Why the economy and what's different? And you know what? I heard not one scintilla of anything new.
Well, now they're really serious. Doggone it all.
Oh, that's it? Now they really mean it. I gotcha. Yeah. I mean, seriously, this is so tired. It's like, you've tried everything. You've thrown all this money at it. You've had Paul Krugman, another discredited economist, trying to tell you how to make things work, which is a joke.
Yeah.
So what are we really doing? Is there really a chance for anything new to happen here?
Well, yeah. Hey, that's the $15 trillion question, which is the size of our economy, you know, and that's the problem, is that we have a very divergent philosophical view of what government can and should be doing to try to reinvent this economy. I believe it's our job to get out of the way and to lower those barriers and to make it easier for the private sector to go and create prosperity and wealth. The government doesn't do that.
That's just foolish talk.
They don't believe that, though. They think it's just one more stimulus program, one more tax break, one more whatever. Then that'll be the silver bullet. But the simple fact is we need stability. We need predictability. We need to make sure that both not just our tax environment, but our regulatory environment is one that is going to allow these companies to go out and be successful.
In an article I was reading on the Christian Science Monitor website here 2 days ago, they focused on Detroit as being the blue model of what happens when progressives are in charge for 50 years. And Detroit, obviously, I don't know what I would, maybe it's an embarrassment for us all here in Michigan to let it, the fact that it had gone from the wealthiest city in America to bankrupt and a shell of what it once was. But I mean, basically it's been 50 years of single party rule, Democrats in charge entirely since 1962, and here's the end result.
Well, I think it's beyond a party. It's a philosophy, right? And that is something I know when I was in the state house and working in state government for 6 years. This shouldn't be a new issue for anybody who's been engaged with Michigan politics over the last, as you point out, 50, 60 years. And, the expectations, I think, are what have been unrealistic. And how do you keep a city that was at 1.8 million people now, that has now slid down to 700,000 people? How do you keep the same infrastructure? How do you keep the same government structure? How do you keep all of these things that they were trying to do? And I get it. You know, people are afraid of change, and change can be very painful sometimes. But it's also necessary if you're going to survive and thrive.
You know, Congressman, I know it probably is unfair to blame the Democrats or the leadership there for one party, anyway. But you know, there are a lot of people out there who kept putting these representatives back in office, and you know, this decline has been going on, as you mentioned, for decades. At some point in time, I mean, do people just not realize that they deserve much better than what they were getting?
Joanna, that's a great question, and I think the thing that I was really sort of somewhat unprepared for when I got to Lansing was sort of the racial element and the animosity that still exists within Southeast Michigan, and you know how race plays into it, how economics plays into it, how the unions play into it, and all those things. I'm not sure that there's one particular thing, but a lot of different things that have sort of been layered up. But, you know, they have odd structure. You know, for example, everybody on city council is elected at large. Well, guess what? They live in about two or three neighborhoods. You know, they're not spread out throughout the city. So what if my neighborhood is okay and we've got streetlights and, you know, the rest of them don't? Well, it doesn't affect my daily life. You know, I think that's the kind of complaints that I've heard when I was chairing the Commerce Committee and spent a fair amount of time down in Detroit trying to figure out ways that the state could help. But at the end of the day, whether it's a state government or federal government, it has to be the locals that are going to say, we need to make changes, and these are the types of changes that we're going to make to go be successful.
Congressman Bill Heisinger on the line with us this morning on Steve Greer's Michigan Morning Show on this Tuesday morning. Congressman, I have to put you on the spot a little bit here because there seems to be a division in the Michigan congressional delegation over possibly defunding surveillance programs for the NSA and others. Justin Amash, who sponsored an amendment that limits the government's ability to collect information on Americans, were not connected to an investigation is on one side of that discussion. Of course, Mike Rogers, who supports the NSA programs to mine data, seems to be on the other side of that conversation. Where do you lie in this whole NSA, FBI data mining conversation?
Well, it's more nuanced than that. The question really is the DOD appropriations bill, which is what we're dealing with this week, the proper place to address it? And there's a lot of arguments that no, it's not. I'm concerned. I want to make sure that we are not having people's personal information getting used and warehoused like that. And you know, we need to have infrastructure, however, to make sure that we are tracking these guys overseas and what's going in. So, you know, I tend to be more on the very cautious, and I don't want to give too much to this government. But at the same time, I'm not sure that totally defunding the NSA is the right answer either. I mean, there are some other things that they're doing. So we'll see what's going to happen this week as we get as we get moved down along that process.
And Congressman, a House committee will be discussing immigration reform yet again. Apparently, a proposal about child immigration or immigrants brought to this country illegally. What is the rub there, and do you see a resolution anytime soon?
Of all of the various types of people that are here illegally, you've got some that originally came legally, right? You know, they either had a student visa or a tourist visa or whatever, and they ended up overstaying it. Interestingly enough, back a while ago when the Irish Prime Minister was here for St. Patrick's Day, there was a group of us. I know a Dutch guy from West Michigan, but I'm actually half Irish as well from Flint. My mom's a good Irish Catholic girl from Flint. And we met with the Prime Minister of Ireland. The first thing he brought up was immigration reform. I was honestly pretty surprised, but you've got a lot of people that have made some mistakes and overstayed visas and done all that stuff, and now they're sort of trapped. That's different than people who had no papers and had no ability or no permission to get here who jumped our border. And then you've got these kids who, at 1-2 years old, had no choice. They're going wherever mom is, and literally sometimes some of them are paperless. Of all of those scenarios, I think that the most fertile ground for making some progress on trying to figure out what we're going to do with these folks is with those kids. You know, how do we make sure that they've got a shot at having a decent life and a prosperous life, and that is probably where you're going to see the most progress
and contribute.
Citizenship, I'm not sure, but we'll see.
Right, Congressman. I wish we had more time, Congressman Bill Huizenga. Always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds good, guys. Take care.